Hi, I'm Kat, marketer turned brand storyteller.
And I'm Candace, educator turned entrepreneur.
And you're listening to
Not Nice, Clever.
We're two introverts who speak on stages around the country and work with top personal brands who also unapologetically require 24 to 48 hours of recovery time on the couch in our favorite sweats, all Netflix and no chill.
And to be clear, we're not quiet or nice. Together, we're redefining what it means to be an introvert who means business. It's time to show up and show off. Are you in? In today's episode of Not Nice Clever, we're going to break down for you how we prepare as two introverts to go to a conference where we don't know anyone. And this is because in about 2 weeks from now, I don't know when, in March, we are going to a conference in LA called Podcast Movement. Mm-hmm. And we've never been to that conference before, but we know that as podcast creators, it's important to be in community with other podcasters and to continue to learn and grow together. So Kat and I have got our ticket. We booked our hotel. Kat's got her flight. I'm actually going to be flying in too. So we are kind of mentally preparing ourselves for being in a space where we don't know anyone. And we started to kind of list out some things that we were thinking about doing prior to the conference. And we said, why not make this an episode of Not Nice Clever? Because I'm sure other people in our Clever crew have dealt with a little bit of anxiety that comes with attending a new conference with new people. So we just decided to break down some of our hot tips, things that we're doing and thinking of, not because we've created the perfect system, but we have created some systems that do help us to preserve our energy and work for us. So here we are.
Obviously, we're going to start with making sure that you have what Candace and I are calling for our crew, your built-in besties, before you even arrive. So what does that mean? Like Candace mentioned, the conference we're going to is a couple weeks from now. We've known we're going to this conference for a while. We're now going to be starting to promote it on our social in stories. You guys know that's a great area to community build, in our email as well, so that the red carpet is already there for us once we arrive, even before we arrive. So we're going to be telling people that we're going. We are going to be sharing about it regularly. We're also going to ask who else is going to be there, because we're taking into account, Candace obviously grew up in LA, lived in Vegas. She lives now in San Diego. She's in Phoenix. I am on the East Coast, but I have a California audience. So we never know. We never assume that, even though we just don't know anybody yet who's going, that there might be somebody we know. So we're calling it out and we're asking people.
And we've been guests on many podcasts.
Very true.
And so since it's a podcast conference, they might be attending as well. So we can meet up with them in person there.
Yeah. So this is groundwork you can do to kind of feel like you're not walking in blind. And, you know, walking into a sea of people and you're like, oh my gosh, they're all strangers. Like, I need my safety blankets. You can build in a few besties this way. And so that's something that we're starting to do. We've done it in the past when we attended Inman. We've done it when we have attended Neil Dingra's event at Forward, because he's been promoting it and hosting it for many years. So it's been really nice to see that kind of pregame, so to speak, for the event build over time.
And I know people are probably thinking, like, what do I actually literally say? Mm-hmm. So, for example, when I attended the Sell It Mastermind in Miami, I was like, hey, y'all, so I'm packing for Miami. I got my newest fit. Want to show you. So kind of just showing them and talking about it, like, I'm excited. I'm going there. Does this look like the perfect outfit for Miami? Just tiny little things like, should I take the checked bag or the carry-on? What do y'all think? Mm. Do I really need six pairs of shoes? Just all of the things, right? I'm just talking about what I'm doing with my audience and where I'm going. And then people are like, oh, tell me more, or I live near there. Can you send me the link? Or just tiny little things that start the conversation, or I'm going to be there too. This is what I'm wearing, Candace. Mm-hmm. And it sounds silly, but it's the beginning of building that connection.
Very, very true. And speaking of your airport fit and your outfits, I think this is something we've talked about before, but I know as an introvert, and I know, Candace, you agree too, communication can be challenging for us sometimes. And speaking up, voicing our opinion, saying no, establishing boundaries. So really, when it comes to attending conferences and being in spaces where it's foreign territory for you, knowing and leveraging all the tools at your disposal for nonverbal communication that can help put you in a position for success is super crucial. So Candace, this is definitely a tip you embody, and I am getting better at it. I'll let you share it with the crew here.
Yeah. So I think last year is when I decided that I was going to begin to really consider exactly what I was going to wear when I attended conferences, even if I wasn't speaking. Mm-hmm. And so I started to be a little bit more loud with my clothing. So wearing more neon, wearing red, wearing just sequins, something that stands out. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized is people literally treat me differently when I wear something that stands out. They approach me, they have something to talk to me about, even if it's like kind of superficial, like, oh my gosh, that sequin blazer is amazing, or whatever it is that they have to say. It's a conversation starter that also leads to deeper conversation. And then I don't have to be the one to start the awkward conversation because someone is starting it with me.
Nope, no awkward turtle moments.
Yes, I do not want to be stuck in small talk, but if someone can comment on what I'm wearing or give me a compliment, and then we start the conversation from there, like we're starting off on a good positive note that doesn't feel as awkward for me as an introvert. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been really intentional about for the last year, is like really considering exactly what I'm wearing to all of the different places that I am going. And I was just telling Kat that I was at a women's networking event a couple of weeks ago in San Diego, and I was wearing a red and pink sweater that was pretty loud. And the host of the event was wearing a rainbow sequined blazer that was also pretty loud. Mm-hmm. And immediately in that room of female entrepreneurs, people were drawn to each of us, and multiple people mentioned my sweater, what I was wearing, what she was wearing. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys look great. And it was authority building, mm-hmm, in an interesting way, because you look like you're doing something important. And I don't think I told you this, Kat, but I went to a boutique right after because there was the sweater that I wanted that I didn't grab. You know, one of those things that's just like,
yeah. An open tab.
And so I was like, I'm just going to swing by and just grab it. Of course, my size was gone. But anyways, I swung through and the woman at the boutique was like, oh, where are you coming from? And she only said that because of what I was wearing.
Yeah.
It was obvious that I was doing something different, important, unique. And in that moment, it kind of solidified for me that what I wear does impact the way people treat me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always going to be thinking about what I'm wearing.
Yeah. It influences their perception, right? Before they even reach out to talk to you, before you even reach out to talk to them. It's such a weird thing to me that that type of statement, standing out, creates authority, because you would think that, yep, to create authority, you have to know all the things and have it down pat and have the perfect playbook and know all the answers. And like, no. Authority is as much perception as it is execution. And fashion is an easy, approachable way. And this is not to mean that, like, look, Candace and I, you're more of a fashionista, I think, than I am. I'm definitely developing a taste for the bougie, but like, not everything we get is from like the runway or like,
it doesn't have to be,
or it doesn't have to look like it. It can look really nice and put together and thoughtful. But I think, you know, one thing that I've really appreciated, because this is feedback I've gotten, and why I love to wear like a leather jacket, like that's definitely a part of my brand wardrobe, because I'm very much, you know, I love to play outside the lines. I'm relentless, right? Similar to something you and I have in common, like a little bit in your face, a little bit not so nice. But that's not how I come off initially with people, especially in large crowds. I'm actually a little bit more reserved. But you see me wearing a leather jacket, and even if I'm quiet, my fashion statement says I'm an outlaw, right? Like that's the American image.
She's a rebel.
I'm a rebel. Like, I will not be contained. So it's a way for me to kind of communicate how my personality is without having to say it.
Yep.
And you know, bomber jackets too. That's another kind of hallmark and element
staple
that I love.
For her.
Yeah, it's a staple.
Yep.
It's so much fun too.
It's so much fun. And two people have actually talked about this. Ryan Serhant in the book Sell It Like Serhant talks mm-hmm. about how he wore a suit pretty much every single day, and that helped him to break into the higher level luxury real estate that he wanted to. And he talked about even buying a particular pair of shoes. And when we were on a recent call with him and some of the pro members, I remember him saying, do you think I actually wanted to wear a suit every day?
Yeah.
He's like, no, but this is what it took to get to the place that he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he did it. And also kind of recently we saw him wearing a swoot, which is a sweatpants suit, mm-hmm. which was really funny and interesting. But now you could see that he's making different choices for himself sometimes that still makes it fun, that still show him being professional, but kind of switching it up a little bit.
Yeah. But now it's like the sweatpants suit for me and like my background, maybe you'll agree with this too. It's like it gives very Silicon Valley investor-esque, which he has started to become an investor in other startups.
For sure.
Right?
Yep. It all makes sense. And then Chris Doe talked to us about this in his episode. So if you haven't listened to Chris Doe's episode of Not Nice Clever, you definitely want to go back and listen to that episode. We'll link it here for you. But he talked about how he getting into fashion kind of helped him a little bit break out of his shell or start conversations.
Yeah.
And he realized it was a tool as young as middle school.
Well, and I have not thought about this. I don't think I've shared this story with you yet, but oh my gosh. So I was thinking about high school because I was thinking like, you know, leather jackets, bomber jackets, that's something I love. When I was in high school, I was on dance team. And I just remember thinking when it was game day, whether it was a home game or an away game, all the dance team girls would wear their uniforms the entire day for school. We were allowed to do that.
Yes.
And I mean, I knew I was an introvert before that, but then like joining the team just because I had an appreciation for dance and I was no longer doing ballet, and then seeing people's reactions when I would walk through the halls wearing my dance uniform versus when I was in like street clothes, wild. Yep. And the suit thing, there was this guy, I think I was in maybe freshman or sophomore year of high school, and he was a junior and he was running for student body president for his senior year. And he said at the beginning of his junior year, he's like, I will wear a suit every single day of my junior year of high school if you will vote for me for president for my senior year, student body president. His name is Chris Lau, L-A-U. If you look him up on LinkedIn, he's probably solving cancer or like curing the world or doing like he's just one of those like savants, right? Such a lovely guy. Like I have amazing memories of like him being a classmate of mine, but he wore a suit every single day of his junior year.
He built a brand.
And then he got elected student body president. And
look at that.
I have not thought about that story for probably 15 years until you brought up the Ryan story, but it works. It's so true. Any age.
It works.
Fashion works.
Yep. It really does. And use it as a tool. You don't need to be afraid of it. You don't always have to get it right. Like there's still things I'm like, oh, I picked that, but it worked in the moment.
That didn't
you know?
Age
it doesn't
well,
matter.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It worked in the moment. So I would say definitely take a risk with what you're wearing mm-hmm. and see if that starts some conversations for you.
Okay. This next tip, we're probably going to get some pushback from the Clever Crew, but we've got our rebuttals ready, y'all. We want you to understand, we've seen it ourselves, come with somebody to be your camera crew, your videographer, your photographer, even if it's your second cousin once removed old college roommate who you're like signing off on college credit for and you're buying them a sandwich, right? You don't have to pay thousands. This can be accessible to you. Get them a camera, have them follow you around, get a lapel mic as well too. So your audio comes across and you look like you're mic'd up, like almost as if you're going on the Today Show. Because when Candace and I were at Forward the first time, summer of 2022, Candace had a great contact, Kirsten, to be our videographer. And so we split the cost to have Kirsten follow us and like do B-roll video of us, capture the event, interview cuts of us. And I remember we were like about to sit down for one of the sessions in like the main room. This guy comes up to us and says, oh, well, you must be somebody because you have a camera woman. Like, I guess I should get to know you. So my name's so-and-so. Like, what's your name? What do you do? And I was like,
yeah,
like what? Wild, right? Yeah. How much it affects people's perception.
Y'all, anyone can hire a camera crew. You don't have to be famous, but it does change the perception and you'll likely get some great footage that you can then share right after the event and continue to grow your brand in that way. So absolutely consider having a camera crew. And I love your tip, Kat, about it doesn't have to be, you know.
Because I think that's what people think. They're like, I don't have $2,000 or a salary or this or that. Right. Like, ask your network. Yeah. Let's use LA, for example. Like, we made the intentional decision to not have a camera crew for this one because we really wanted to focus on, like, the networking and the collaboration, because it's a podcasting conference. They're not necessarily going to be our clients.
Right.
But if we were, you can bet your bottom dollar that I'd be reaching out to any LA-based person that I know, and Candace would too. Be like, who do you know that can meet this budget or that we can, like, you know, do something with, and have them with us for the day. You can make it happen.
That's it. Simple. So another thing we always do when going into events is we go in with goals. So we're not attending every single session of the day because we know that we have a finite amount of energy, and anything that we are spending our time on should be in alignment with the goals that we have set. So some of the goals that we have for Not Nice Clever are definitely getting sponsorships. So that means we're looking at the agenda and we're saying, oh, this event or this session seems like the perfect way to learn more about how to do that. So we are not going to every single session, only the ones that are aligned with our goals, which means that we have to know our goals, and we do. We have them written out, and you should too. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we take very seriously because, you know, there might be 20 sessions that day. Kat and I are maybe going to 4.
Yeah. We can't do 20. We're going to peter out after day one. And this is a multiple day conference. I'm traveling from across the country. Candace is also traveling. So y'all, energy is precious. Use it where it supports your goals. Oh, the other thing we recommend is building in, we're going to like brand this now for Not Nice Clever, what we like to call battery breaks.
Yeah.
So that you can recharge. And I'll let you share this story, Candace, because like this was funny the first time we shared a hotel together.
So the first time we shared a hotel in New York, I was just like, hey, Kat, when we go upstairs, I'm not going to talk to you. Don't talk to me. Thank you. And that's basically what I said. And she was like, yeah, of course. Like, I get it. I don't want you to talk to me either.
Right.
You know?
I just spent hours talking to people.
I just spent hours talking to people, smiling. My cheeks hurt. I'm like stressed out. Like, I'm overloaded.
Yeah.
I have had enough input, right? So basically, we'll schedule like an hour or two. And this is typically before dinner. Mm-hmm. And we'll go upstairs, probably put some comfy clothes on, mm-hmm. lay in bed. Maybe there's some Netflix involved. Maybe there's some scrolling. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're laying in bed and posting to our stories. But we are not interacting with one another. Mm-hmm. And no one is offended by that. Okay. And so just creating clear boundaries with whoever maybe you happen to be staying with, if you're going with someone else or your partner, like, hey, right now I need some downtime, which means don't talk to me.
Yes. This is probably my favorite tip out of all of them, because I just think what I hear and what I see is that people are like, oh, I paid several hundred dollars for this ticket, and I paid $700 for my flight, and several, and like that, like it's thousands, right? At the end of the day, and they try to white knuckle and attend all the things thinking that that's how they're going to get the most value out of their time. And who knows, for some people that might be true. Maybe they learn differently. They've got different goals than us. But my experience and like our experience in the conferences we've attended is that we really only needed to be at that one session to hear that one thing, or to be in that one room to meet that one person that led to that, that led to so many other things. It's less is more, and taking the time to slow down and be intentional and make sure that your energy is up, because you could have the opportunity of a lifetime to meet somebody. But if you're exhausted and distracted and not present, I don't really think that's going to go anywhere or feel very good at all for anybody involved.
Yep, totally. This next tip is something we learned from Millionaire Matchmaker.
Shout out to you, Patty Stanger.
And we highly recommend that you give yourself, if you do enjoy a cocktail or a drink, give yourself a 2-drink limit. Mm-hmm. Because it's just not sustainable for you to, as an introvert, go to conference all day, have multiple drinks, and then do it again the next day at your best. It's not possible for me. I don't think it's possible for Kat. Mm-mm. And I just doubt that most people are capable of doing that really well.
Yeah.
I know that if I don't drink, I can focus on my goals even more. And that's just so much more important to me at this stage in life.
Yeah.
So just a recommendation from one introvert to another, take it from Patty Stanger, 2-drink limit.
Yes. And I even know like the specific types of drinks. So like I I have a lot of different preferences and likes when it comes to drinking when I do drink. Like, I don't drink often, but when I do, it's, you know, there's a time and a place for a different cocktail and a different glass of wine. And for like a situation like this, if I were to drink, I would probably have a glass of Chardonnay or maybe one tequila soda with lime. And that would be it, because I know recovering, it works very well with my body. I'm able to metabolize it, especially if I have dinner and I'm good and I wake up okay the next morning. That's if I decide to drink. I'm not going to have a glass of red or bourbon or beer because that shit bloats. And so I know my limits and I know what's best if I do decide. This is like one thing too. If you've done all the other things that we recommend, you will be getting a lot of invites for dinner or cocktails. And so just know that you don't have to say yes to everything.
Right. And just because there's an open bar doesn't mean that you need to take advantage
Seriously. Of it. Just let the other people.
Yeah, you have an upper hand. Great. If people are a little tipsy, like get on their podcast, right? Like
get that booking link, boo. Like get that booking link.
Yeah.
And so there's also something you brought this up before we hopped on. There's something to be said about not being available or not being easily accessible. Not in a way that you're like being holier than thou or like better than. That's not it. But I remember one of the conferences like that you and I attended, you had attended it prior. So you were a bit more comfortable. You had more contacts and a better lay of land than I did. So I was a little nervous and I clung to you like my safety blanket and you were amazing. And I appreciate you for that. Mm-hmm. But there was feedback that I got one person that I ended up working with after the conference where he was like, yeah, you were there and I kind of knew Candace and saw her. He's like, but you were kind of always in the background. You didn't really speak up much, but you were like, you seem very mysterious and I just needed to know more about you. Mm-hmm. And that was like the impetus for him wanting to talk to me was me not saying anything. I just like had my bomber jacket and my heels and then let the rest do the talking. So like less can definitely be more in these situations.
For sure. The next tip that we have for you is to make sure that you are capturing photos and video content that you can share at the event, during the event, and after the event as well. And then it's an opportunity for you to tag people and recognize them for the work that they've done or for the impact that they've made on you, for the new knowledge that you've gained from listening to them. And what I like to do is think about what would I want someone to say about me if I just got off stage? Like, what is a nice compliment that I can give this person? How can I make them feel seen and valued? And I think about that when I am posting someone on my Instagram story or to my feed. And I feel like it helps. It's like reciprocity, right? Like if I put that into the world, then I'm putting that energy and vibe out there and then it returns to me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people are like, oh, I just don't even think about sharing content. And I always think because I want people to share my content, I'm going to be a great content sharer.
Yeah. I think that that's so often overlooked because the initial impulse is going back to like wanting to attend all the sessions and accept all the dinner invites is like, oh, well, I've spent all this money. I need to make sure people know that I was there and I get my value out of it and this and that. And yes, while that may be true, it's not what is most useful or beneficial to lead with. And so I think I love that mindset of like, what would you want people to say about you? And then shine that spotlight on other people. Legit, like quick sidebar, the thing that I love most about having a platform like this podcast and like our other platforms and the combined, however big our audiences are across all the different channels, is not that it like feeds my ego or it's like more spotlight or more me or more that. It gives me the opportunity to like hype other people up and shine a light on them, like amazing creators and individuals like Theoni, who, you know, we had her on the pod and like legit go back and listen to her episode because she's just an incredible gem of a human being.
So good.
Being able to like shine spotlight on other human beings like that feels almost better than being in the spotlight, honestly.
Totally. The more people that you have in your audience, the more eyes that you can get on your content, the more good you can do in the world if you use it well.
Yeah.
And so that's really, you know, part of why we do what we do. And if you've been following along, you know this story already, but the way we got Chris Doe, who has a million plus followers
wild
on our podcast, is using some of these strategies, being like, okay, we're going to stand in line and take a picture with him.
Oh, I was so uncomfortable.
Kat was like sweating. That she like photo, tried to ditch the line three
I
times.
I did. Candace wouldn't let me. I was so nervous. I was sweating. My pits were sweating.
And we did these things. We shared his photo in our feed. We said what we got from his talk. We shared about him in our stories and how, you know, impactful his message was on us. And that was all completely genuine. Like, we really were impacted by him. I had been following him for a while. Kat had, you know, just been introduced to him and she was obsessed immediately. And and so, I mean, who wouldn't be? He's great. But this was done genuinely and also intentionally.
Yeah. That's the, if you're thinking about like the Venn diagram that drives your actions, being genuine, because being yourself is more than enough. And then being intentional, not just doing something for the sake of doing it or reacting in the moment or letting emotion drive it all, like being very intentional and very mindful. Like, you overlap those two things, and if like the actions you're taking fall into that overlap, you will very rarely be disappointed with the results. The last tip is something that Candace and I have learned the hard way, but we talked about the battery breaks that you build in into your day while you're at the conference. Now we also recommend, if you're an introvert, build in your recharge time post-event.
Yep. This is something that I haven't been great at historically.
Yes.
But I know now that I need 24 hours after a multiple day event like this. I need 24 hours of no meetings on my calendar, mm-hmm. no one bothering me. It's basically like a sick day.
Mental health day. Like, I need.
It's a mental health day.
Like, Will knows there's going to be Twizzlers involved.
Okay, there's going to be for sure. Mm-hmm,
there's going to be some Bravo TV involved.
Oh yeah. For me, it'll be Dateline.
There we go. As kick-ass and as intelligent as we are, y'all, we just need the TV version of comfort food sometimes. And I know exactly. Like true crime and murder doesn't sound like comfort food to you, but it does to Candace, and it feeds her soul.
It's the investigation of it. It's the discovery. I'm an Enneagram 5.
Mm-hmm. You are. You are.
I'm a detective.
You are. And so build that in truly. Just because you are physically back home does not mean you are mentally, emotionally, and physically ready to like get back to business as usual. 24 hours is good.
And that's okay. Yeah. Give yourself some grace.
Yes. You are, look, if you're an introvert, pretty sure that's not going to change. You know, that's like the wiring is done. I mean, you know, challenge us, prove us wrong, but like it has not changed for me. The older I've gotten, the more and more I've become an introvert, which is like the more and more we develop these tips and these ways to still thrive and get what we want, even though we're not the loudest and the most theatrical and like the life of the party as people think that you have to be successful. And that's just not true.
We hope our introvert tips help you at your next conference. And if you have tips for us, you know, you can always slide into our DMs and let us know what works for you. Thanks for joining us on Not Nice, Clever.
Remember to follow our podcast wherever you listen to audio.
And if you found today's episode valuable, please share it with your friends.
No gatekeeping here. Remember, we love to see our clever crew grow.
Signing off, you're not so nice, but oh so clever besties that mean business.
See you soon.